Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Magnetic Goddess Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt, and today I have a fabulous guest. And I know you guys say that I say that all the time, but today, like, I really mean it. I have gotten to spend so much time with this incredible guest. She is so epically talented. The things that she's able to do to support her clients in is just so next level, and it's exactly what's being called for Pluto and Aquarius. I am so excited to bring you guys the inventor of the Akashic Reconciliation Method, the Rapid Resolution Therapy Specialist, and Energy Recalibration Alchemist, River Alo.
You're listening to The Magnetic Goddess, a podcast for women who are ready to step into their power and live their best lives. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt, and I'm here to guide and inspire you to take the journey back to your higher self. We'll talk about everything from personal development to career growth to relationships. We'll share tips, tools, and strategies that will help you become the most confident, successful, and magnetic version of yourself. We'll also talk to inspiring women who have already achieved their dreams and are living their best lives. We'll learn from their stories and discover what it takes to create a life that is truly fulfilling. I believe that every woman has the potential to be a magnetic goddess. She has the power to attract anything she wants in life, and she can create her birthright of abundance. I'm here to help you tap into that inner goddess and live your best life. I'm so excited to have you on this journey with me. Let's start living our best lives together as magnetic goddesses.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So glad to have you. So you probably know from listening to the show that the first thing I always ask, especially when we get folks in here who have these incredible credentials and titles, is how does one go from graduating high school and I'm going to go be this thing to becoming an inventor of modalities and someone who specializes in recalibrating energy?
Sure. So mine was a long haul because I started doing this work before I went back to business school for my MBA. So I was kind of moonlighting. I was in the spreadsheets during the day, and then I was doing crystals and shamanic journeying at night. So it was a bizarre phase for a long time. But essentially for me, I had kind of a physical breakdown. That's what came first, which was each part of my body fell apart one at a time. And so I went through the rounds of Western medicine until they didn't have any more answers. And then I went Eastern medicine until didn't see any more answers there. And then naturopathy, homeopathy, found my way to energy work, and then just kept looking. And each thing that I tried helped a little, but not completely. So I just kept looking, and I knew that there was a better way, a more thorough way, a faster way. And so I just had this endless curiosity and hunger for finding a solution so that if I could use some of what I had learned to help others not go through the things that I went through, I thought that it was all worth it. And I knew that the solutions were out there, and I was just going to keep looking until I found it.
That's amazing. And it's so inspiring to hear someone that's like, I was just going to keep looking until I found it. Like, I wasn't going to settle for less than the answer. And that kind of resilience, I think, really speaks to the type of people that are drawn to this work, right? People that are just like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to figure this out one way or the other. Like this is my quest, and recognizing that quest, I think that's really powerful. So among the laundry list of things that you're qualified to do in all the different modalities, one of them is rapid resolution therapy, or as you call it, RRT. And I've noticed in the, you know, coaching spaces and online and these things, I've noticed there's a lot of confusion between RRT and RTT. And so if you could, would you tell our listeners the difference between these two modalities, so that if they come across one or the other, they can make that distinction pretty easily?
Sure. So RTT, Mercer Pierce modality, hypnosis, I am enough, things like that. This is what I've heard. I haven't delved in it too deeply. From what I hear, well, my preference is RRT, which is from Dr. John Connolly. And it is essentially how to clear anything that's been troubling, that's been disturbing, that's been a stuckness in a quick way and a way that is fun and light with humor. So there's no pain needed, and it's just moving in quickly through storytelling, through imagery, through gathering any blips or glitches or anything that just wasn't as smooth as it can be, so that all of that energy that was put towards other things is then freed up for the well-being of someone's mind and someone's body, and things just work a lot better and a lot faster. So I have explored personally over 100 different healing modalities, and rapid resolution therapy is one of my all-time favorites. I actually just spent the last weekend at a live training for it, because I'm still learning. Even though I'm a specialist, things can always be better and improve, and I'm always looking to be more efficient with everything that I do. So if you haven't had a chance to experience it yet, I think you will really like it.
Yeah, I haven't actually had a chance to experience it, but I have gotten a chance to watch some demos of people doing it on the RRT, I always messed that up, website, or on the Instagram rather. So if you guys are interested, in seeing what the modality looks like first, before you book with River, you can definitely check it out just to kind of get your feet wet. But it's really fascinating the way that, the modality works from what I understand. Okay, so my next question, and I saved really juicy questions for you, so I hope this is okay, because I know you can handle them. But I think sometimes there's this idea in coaching that the people who go for coaching are the ones who, like, if you get coaching or you get support or a mentorship, that there's something wrong with you, that you're broken, that you couldn't figure it out on your own, that there's some deficit to you. And being someone who works with maybe, more high intent clients, more like people who, invest at a higher level, could you kind of shed some light on, like, who is the typical client that comes to you that asks for this support, and like, where are they in their life?
Oh gosh, yeah, no, my clients are amazing. They are high achievers. They've already usually accomplished everything that they had set out to do, and they're looking for things to be better. So sometimes it's, oh, I thought that all of these accomplishments would make me happy. I did everything right. I checked all the boxes. What now? And so that what now is usually where I come in, and it is looking at, okay, well, yeah, what now? Let's look at possibility for the future and how things can be better, easier, smoother, more enjoyable, more fun. Usually, I work with a lot of type A's. So it's people who haven't historically prioritized a lot of time for fun, because that's not, productive, and that's not actively getting things done. And then they see that actually they can get a lot more done if they're feeling better, if their mind is clear, and if they're doing more of what lights them up and what they actually want to do, then the things that they get done just happen a lot more easily. So I actually hadn't heard that around coaching, but certainly I'd heard that around therapy, which is this idea of, asking for help has some kind of stigma. And I would say, particularly around coaching, looking for this level of optimization of, oh, things are already good, let's make them even better. I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's the star players who are asking for this level of support, because they know that there's a better way out there and they want to find it.
Yeah, I think that's such a good way to say it. The star players, right? Like, I always call myself an intellectual athlete, because I'm just always like trying to like pump up my brain muscles. And I think like that is actually the ICA, that's an industry term, the ideal client avatar, who kind of tends to come to coaching are the people that are like, I want to be just a little bit better. I want to be just a little bit better. I want to be just a little bit better. So tell me, as far as the RRT method, I said it right that time, right? The
Yes.
RRT method goes, what would you say that it's something that sticks? Like, is it something that you feel like they have to consistently like renew? Is it like getting the sticker on your car like we do back in Massachusetts every year? Like, tell me about the longevity of the process, and like, how effective is this in terms of getting lasting results?
So I can only speak to what I've seen, which is hundreds at this point. But I would say almost everything is one time, lasting, permanent. The few exceptions that I've seen have been around sobriety or relapse or something like that, where they're clean and sober for 4 months. And this could be cigarettes, marijuana, alcohol, something like that, clean and sober. And then perhaps something else comes up because more angles needed to be addressed. And so then we would go back and look at these other angles. But as for trauma, I've never seen that return. It's kind of a one and done. It's cleared. Now, it's possible there may be another layer that wasn't even noticed before, or another angle, or perhaps it was not one single incident, but several incidents over a few years. So yes, sometimes more would need to be cleared at that point. But as for that specific thing, no, that doesn't come back, which is really, really cool, because what's actually happening is it's restructuring the way that unconscious mind is viewing that information entirely. And once that's completely dismantled, it can't go back to the way it was before. And so that is lasting, which is amazing, because everything that I do, I'm looking for it to be painless, efficient, and lasting.
Yeah, that's such a powerful thing, especially when people are investing at this level, to know that like this is gonna fix it, right? Like people don't go have surgery. Well, some surgeries they do, but other than elective surgeries, they don't go have surgery to fix something. And it's like, well, that's gonna relapse in a couple of years. It's like, well, then why am I gonna have cut me open, right? And so one of the things I wanted to ask you too, is in terms of coaching, supporting people, all these methodologies, being highly intuitive as you are, you just keep on getting these new tools for your tool belt. How do you determine when you're working with someone, say, like not in a specific session, but like say you have a one-on-one client, how do you determine what you pull out of your toolbox and like what is relevant for that session or for that particular client?
Yeah, so that's one of the challenges of having learned as many different things as I have and invented quite a few of them, is that I'm always looking at matching. I'm looking to match puzzle pieces. So I see any problem as not a problem, but a puzzle. And so I'm like, okay, what's the best way to solve this? And I think I view it as differently than other people, because I think that every lock has a key. There is a key there. And I have a lot of keys. I have a lot of keys that we can test out. And if I don't have a particular key, I'm probably going to invent one. But the way I see it is that some keys are on the surface and you can just unlock them right away, instant change. And some are deeper down through like a maze. And then there's all these gatekeeper keys that we have to unlock all of those first. And those gatekeeper keys could be things like, this won't work for me. I can't be fixed. There's something wrong with me. I'm broken. And then those would need to be unlocked and cleared first before we get to someone's actual goal. But in essence, I have use cases for all of the different things I do. So if I'm looking for just clearing, so for example, clearing trauma, clearing resentment, clearing guilt, haven't seen anything better than RRT, which we've talked about a bunch. So that's where I would go there. If I'm looking to bring someone beyond neutral, so the bad stuff is gone and they're kind of at neutral, that's when I'm going to go towards different types of energy work so that we can really elevate and raise frequency and get them to a better place where more cool stuff starts happening for them.
I was just sitting there listening. I'm like, this is so good. I mean, to be able to explain it in such a way, like, keys to open keys is like so profound. And people don't realize, like, they try something and then they're like, oh, that didn't work. And I know in the NLP world, right? Like, sometimes we have to clear the fact, like, we clear the belief that nothing will work before we even touch the belief. And it sounds like you guys have very similar things, in RRT and in some of your other methodologies. So speaking of which, because we don't want RRT to hog the show. It's not their
Yeah,
podcast.
so I
Yours.
just want to clarify that everything in here is my own opinion. So the thing about the keys and the beliefs, that's just my own opinion. So I don't want to speak for anyone else.
Oh yeah, no, not at all. But I just mean in terms of like the way that you're describing your method and how you determine in your private sessions how you do it. But talking about some of these other modalities, we mentioned, RRT is one of the ones, but like what about the ones that you've created? Do you want to tell us anything about any of those or like kind of like, how any of those work?
Yeah, so I would love to. So I spend a lot of time in the Akashic Records. It's one of my favorite places to be. So sometimes I spend time in the earthly Akashic Records and the galactic Akashic Records, but there is a whole bunch of stuff you can do in there. You can do soul retrievals in there. I usually prefer shamanic journeying for that, but you can also, I mean, you can do Reiki in the Akashic Records. You can do basically anything, but my favorite thing to do there is shifting limiting beliefs. And so most of us are familiar with limiting beliefs. I see them as kind of the energetic floors or energetic ceilings of what's possible for someone in this lifetime right now. And traditionally, if someone's looking to clear some type of limiting belief, they'll do it one at a time, spend, a decent amount of time with it, and it has really wonderful effects. And the way that I do it in the Akashic Records is that we can do hundreds at a time. And it's so gentle on the nervous system that when we do it, it's actually rather anticlimactic. And it's not very exciting at all. And it's kind of like, did anything actually happen? And then they look around and 6 weeks later, their whole world is different because all of the externals started matching up with those internals. And they look back and they're like, oh yeah, that is true for me. That is actually going on in my world right now. So I really enjoy this one because not only can we shift beliefs, but we can also shift preferences. So I've had clients who hated certain vegetables all of a sudden like those vegetables, or they hated sales calls and now they kind of enjoy sales calls. So we can shift what someone actually likes. And so that's one. And then for the energetic tether removal, I use this literally every day. It is muscle testing by surrogate. So rating things on a scale of 1 to 10 of how tethered something is, where the friction is, where the resistance is. And this can be used for intolerances for food or for location or for people. So I had a client who had horrible acne, and it turned out that what was behind that actually was an allergy to the city that she was living in. So when we cleared that allergy to the city, her face cleared up and it never happened again. And so that's one use case for this. I've also seen people in arguments, and when this friction is cleared and untethered, then they're just enjoying each other, and that friction that was there just isn't there anymore. And so this is it's a really useful one because any way that we can clear anything is beneficial to both parties. So it's a two-way clearing. So anytime there's friction anywhere, there's kind of an energetic resistance on both sides. So you clear it one way, and then both are freed to be better and do more for the higher good.
So good. That's so fascinating to hear about that. So speaking of the higher good, there's been a lot of talk lately about Pluto going into Aquarius and this new age of coaching and the new world and all these things. And I'm just curious, do you have any thoughts on kind of what do you see going forward, or like, what do you see in the landscape of the work that you're doing, the work that you're seeing your peers doing? Like, what kind of innovation have you witnessed, that kind of lends itself to this truth about the evolution that's taking place?
A lot of thoughts on this. So we are seeing a rise in a lot of different things at the moment. We're seeing a rise in extremism on all sides. We're seeing a rise of empaths and light workers who are activating their own gifts and their own psychic abilities so that they can raise planetary frequency. And so what I'm interested in, and that's where I'm going to put my focus on, is doing the work of elevating anyone around me and then also the entire planet and collaborating with those who are also doing that, because this is what I see as the antidote for this level of extremism, binary thinking, all or nothing, us versus them, right or wrong, black or white. I don't think this is actually serving. And I think that there may come a breaking point for some of this, but that those of us along the way, those of us who are light workers and grid workers and who are constantly recalibrating to peace and recalibrating to internal joy and knowing that all of that has ripple effects across everyone, that I do think that there is hope here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that I think at the beginning of the decade, there was this, this constant talk about like, why did I choose to be born now? Like, why did I choose? Like, why would I do this? Like, what was wrong with me? And now I think we're coming into this part of like, oh, this is why. Oh, this is why I'm here. Okay, this makes sense. Like, I now see what I'm here to do. Like, I can see the landscape and I see where I'm here to make my move, where I feel like at the beginning it was kind of like, why did I pick this time to be born? Like, I could have been born in the 50s when all I had to do was wear a poodle skirt and, like, get a kiss on the cheek. And, like, why did, and it's like, now I understand. And yeah, I completely resonate with what you said. Absolutely. It's a beautiful time to be a light worker. It's a poignant time for sure. Very,
And it's
very.
also, you're so familiar with law of attraction, right? So this is kind of like where our focus goes, that's where our energy goes. And so I'm focused on seeing the light in other people and seeing what's possible for them because, like begets like. So where there's outrage, there's going to be more outrage. Where there's anger, there's going to be more anger. Where there's violence, there's going to be more violence. But where there's looking beyond that, looking at big picture, looking at long term, looking at what lasting peace looks like, looking at what lasting quality of life for more and more people looks like, I think that's where the solutions are. And in those solutions, there's never a blame game there. It's just how can we empower more and more people?
I agree. I don't know what those little blips of light are that are going all over the place, but apparently they're very interested in this conversation. So sorry for you guys out there in audio land. You can't see it, but there's little white like zings that are going across my screen as she's talking. So that's pretty cool.
We have company. We have
Me
support.
too. Me too. I love it. Oh my gosh, River, this has been phenomenal. I mean, I just learned so much about you, about the different modalities that you share, and you guys. Honestly, I mean, her energy is just next level. Like you're not here right now, so you can't feel it, but it's just a beautiful blanket of evolutionary magic that you just have to experience for yourself. So speaking of which, how do people get a hold of you? How do they get into your world? How do they get some of that juicy juice?
Absolutely. So I think we'll leave the website in the show notes, and you can find me on Instagram as well. My name is River Ayla, and you can search for me anywhere. And I am offering more and more things, so stay tuned for more and more to come. But there are usually ways to work with me one-on-one, and then also ways to just learn more and do more DIY yourself, so that you can be looking to op optimize. If like me, that things can be better and that there are ways to be better, then there are ways. And I'm looking to provide more opportunities so that more and more people can know
Know
what these
what these
tools
tools
are
are.
and use them so that they can just feel better and show up in a way that they like in their lives.
So well spoken, and so it is. Thank you so much for being here, River. This has been magical. We truly appreciate you being here with us on the show.
Thank you, Amy Lee.
Absolutely. And that'll do it, folks, for another episode of The Magnetic Goddess. Until next time, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, and may you be at peace. Namaste.